Anyway, Colossians chapter 2 for the fourth time. A reminder for us of who we are. In verse 10, you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. And who is He? By the way, He is the head of all principality and power, right? You are complete in Him. He is the head of all principality and power. He is the authority in this world. He is the one who is conducting all things. He is the one who is leading everything. And you are complete in Him. We have a lot of things that remind us of incompletion. You look at the trim at the house. I redid our floors one time in Baltimore, and I didn't put the shoe molding on for like a year and a half. And then once it was down, I said, oh, it's complete. But every time before I would look at it, it's incomplete. And I told Jess, I said, you would never have appreciation for shoe molding if I had put it on right away. You wouldn't even know what shoe molding is unless if I had put it on. But because it was missing for over a year, now you have a great appreciation for shoe molding. Right? All right. So you're welcome. But there's a lot of things we look at and remind us of incompletion. And even we look at our depravity or our sinful being, biological life, our physical life, we are reminded of incompletion and our inability to complete ourselves, right? Like I am breaking down. I'm not becoming better physically. I'm breaking down. And it's a reminder of incompletion. The world is incomplete. The world is groaning, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. The world is groaning because it knows it's incomplete. Even creation is saying there's something missing. This isn't everything. But we have something very different and true about us that cannot change because it's in Him. And it's that we are complete in Him. Titus chapter 1. Is it Titus 1? Titus 1, 2. No, 2, 1. No, 1-2. Yeah, 1-2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We have a promise and we have a statement here by someone who cannot lie. He cannot lie. And that we know His words are trustworthy, and He says, you are complete in Me. Pastor Christian Diaz preached a message on Friday night down in Pennsylvania about this. God cannot lie. he said that you will become what you worship. Right? You will become what you worship. And if you worship a God who can lie, you will be a liar. He said the Greek gods were liars. And Titus is written to a believer, Titus, to a man who is ministering in Crete, and the Cretans believe they worshipped Zeus, and Zeus was a liar. And you see it in there in the book of Titus. It says your own poets say the Cretans are liars; they're all liars. And do we see incompletion in the world, and do we see the ability or the proclivity that I am drawn to worship what is in the world? It's like I do. And I find that I'm worshiping something incomplete. What happens when I worship something incomplete is that I'm insecure. I'm insecure. I don't have any confidence in my God because He is incomplete or He is a liar. But we worship God who cannot lie. We worship God who is the head of principalities and power. All right, it says earlier on in Colossians 2:9, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Christ the man is all of God. There's nothing missing in Him. There is no inability in Him. There is no lie in him. In him is light, and there is no darkness at all. Therefore, and now you are complete in him. I am complete in something that is complete. Right? Isn't that amazing? There is no lack in it. There is no hole that I can fall through. There is no insecurity. And I want my worship to be a reflection of the security that I have in Christ. Right? It could be that there are forms of worship in Christianity that is a desire or is a show. It's a production. And it's like we are trying to be what God wants. Right? Like, Lord, if I show you, my worship shows you how much I love you, or if I, you know, speak a certain way, or if I speak in tongues, or if I, we see all these things in Christianity. If you do this, then you will be. But that is like an insecure worship. It's not complete. But I want my worship to be a product of my security. And if that's true, then my worship, I'm free in worship. I'm very free because I'm not completing anything. I'm not showing, proving anything. I am just enjoying a truth that I am complete in Christ. And it could be different. There could be, I could be in tears. I could be have great joy. I could be very calm and just raising my hands. I could be like excited and jumping around. It doesn't matter. But all of it is coming from security. Because I am complete in the one who is. The one who is. The I am. I am complete in the I am. Right. So this word completion, we know what it is. There's a maybe a quarter of a chocolate cake back there. It's incomplete, right? But there is a wholeness in Christ, and this wholeness that He gives us doesn't have the ability to have anything taken out of it, right? Like that cake was whole this morning, this afternoon. It was complete, and people have taken from it, right? Chipping away at it. Who's guilty, right? Malcolm. No. Yeah, people have taken from it and now it is incomplete. But nobody can take anything from the wholeness of God. And also, no one can take anything from me. I am complete in Christ. Nobody can come take a piece of that from me. No sin can knock me out of that completion. I am complete in Christ. We can allow this to be our meditation this week and just revolve it over and over and over again. And there's something that always comes back from the devil, and he says, yeah, but you did. Right? Have you ever heard that? Yeah, okay. I thought it was just me. Yeah, but you did. And we say, no. That is completely paid for. My sin is completely paid for. And I am complete in Christ. There isn't anything that can take any of it away from me. Righteousness is not attained. Righteousness is given. Security is not worked for, but security is the result of a place. Right? So therefore, I will worship. Right? We can find a lot of reasons not to worship. We can find a lot of ways to disqualify ourselves from worship. But this sentence, you are complete in Christ, gives me freedom in worship. Because it's not qualified at all. It doesn't say you are complete in Christ as long as you maintain a average as a Christian. Right? As long as you stay on the honor roll. As long as the end of the year, right? As long as you get to the end of the year, as long as you're above this number, you're good. Right? No, it is a constant place for us. And we live out of it. And we rejoice in it. And we, in difficulty, we lean on it. And in joy, we jump off of it. Like, it's everything. You are complete in Christ. Don't let anything, and this is what Paul is saying to the Colossians, don't let anybody convince you of otherwise. He goes on throughout the rest of chapter 2 and he gives 9 or 10 very clear things that Christ has done for us that validate this statement, you are complete in Christ. You are complete. He doesn't just say it and leave it. He says it and then he defines it through the rest of the chapter. He defines it. And then at the end of chapter 2, he gives a strong reminder. We could read that. A strong reminder at the end of chapter 2. He says, verse 20, well. Verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward. Don't let anyone cheat you. Meaning, don't let anyone persuade you of otherwise. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. And what that means is he's saying that there are people coming around saying that it's Gnosticism, and they're saying like you are like almost saved. But we know greater. We know better. We have been enlightened. We have a greater knowledge, Gnosticism, a greater knowledge. And that greater knowledge is a source of our spirituality. And maybe someday you can make it here if you are good enough. But Paul is saying, no, remember, you are complete in Christ. There is no greater position than being complete in Christ. So he says, don't worry about these people. Right, he says that it's actually false humility, and it puffs up the fleshly mind. Like they aren't getting anywhere spiritually. They're just puffing themselves up. Right? They have their reward in this world by their recognition, and not holding fast to the head. They're not holding on to Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Increase with the increase from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why would you go back to them, basically? Why, as living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? If you have died to the rudiments of this world, then why do you go into these regulations that says, do not touch, do not eat, do not handle? Like these things, this is not spiritual. Don't take this position you have in Christ and put your grubby little hands on it and think that it's this. And so these things have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It does not stand against the sin nature, basically. Like if you, this spirit, this Gnosticism does not give you authority in your life. It's puffed up. It's external. It's like a shiny, it's like the tuxedo on the chimpanzee. Like it's not, it doesn't go to the heart of the issue. But knowing that I am complete in Christ, that goes to the depth of everything and it becomes the foundation. And I work from there. And it's like, it's not about what you are touching, handling, tasting, whatever. That's like, whatever. He deals with that throughout Corinthians and all that stuff. It's like, it's not the issue. But the issue is knowing Christ, being increased with the increase that comes from God. Don't be increased by the increase that you produce your own. That is incomplete. It's missing. It's like the candy shell. Pastor Schaller would say it's like a 2x4 spray painted gold. And you say, look at this solid gold, right? And someone could see it at a distance and say, wow, Joe's got an 8-foot bar of gold. Right? That's an 8-foot long bar of gold. It looks like a 2x4, but it's gold. He told me it was. And then you see it and you scratch it, and it's just pine. Right? Like it's nothing. It costs $2.50, maybe a little more right now. But it's nothing. I want it to be the depth, the complete, and the solid foundation. And then I begin to stack my life on it. And I'm changed. I'm renewed in my thinking. I have authority over sin. I have confidence to stand in the day, like it says in Ephesians 6, because I know who I am. I know who God is, right? He is the head of everything. And then I know who I am. I'm complete in him. So I think this really changes everything. It changes my prayer life. It changes my worship. It changes my Bible reading. It changes my fellowship in the body. It changes my heart for the lost. It changes everything because it's him. So that can be our memory verse for the week, right? I am complete in Christ. Wake up in the morning. Oh, no, I am complete in Christ, right? Back pain can wait. stub your toe on the edge of the bed. I am complete in Christ. Waiting for the coffee maker. I am complete in Christ. Right? I am dependent on Christ. And then coffee. Right? The discouragement, the disappointment, the bills, the stack of bills, whatever it is, start with I am complete in Christ. And then approach the thing. And it helps. I'm telling you, it helps. It gives us perspective. It gives us a better foundation than something that's incomplete. And then we are able to worship because we're free. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for this verse. Thank you for this great reminder that we are complete in you. And just ask that you would help us to remember that. Help us to repeat it to ourselves. Help us to encourage ourselves in the truth that we are complete in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.